Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're recording. Lord, this is a grim time.
Yeah, this should be an interesting episode, guys. Should be some yelling. Should be lots of different tones of voices.
A lot of emotions. Jesus. You gonna introduce us?
Oh my gosh. Yep. Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on planet Earth in the Milky Way galaxy. The Bachelorette. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And, oh god, just watch this fucking finale. Mm-hmm. That was way too long.
Oh my god, they dragged it out for way too long.
They dragged shit out. Like, for Rachel and Peter and Brian, like, I needed 3 hours because I needed to see...
Absolutely.
Every moment of how she arrived at her decision.
Yes.
Peter, I needed him to get his reconciliation. I needed them to sit on the couch. I needed to watch and dissect everything. This shit! Yes. I need all this. I didn't need none of that last hour. As soon as she chose Garrett, I didn't need nothing else. Just let me go on about my life. That's it. So, it is 11:30. I had 2 shots. I'm tired.
Nice. Okay.
I didn't have any wine. I meant to stop at the wine store, but I didn't have no wine, so... I have to dig into my liquor cabinet. But I needed it for this here foolishness.
Oh my god, I was Sobes.
Lord. Mm-hmm. How you did it, girl. Let's just go. What are your initial thoughts? Let's jump into that.
So my initial thoughts is that I am devastated because if we go back to the Ari episode when Ari first broke up with Becca and Blake Frost rode in on that horse, I have been in love with him since that day.
You sure have.
I am absolutely devastated.
You sure have, my friend. You rode for Blake from that when he came on that damn big ass horse. Very true.
That horse in that studio. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. I also still hate Garrett's face so much. Oh my god. I just think he looks like an animated blowfish to me. Ooh. I can't stand
that. That's very particular.
But when I see him, I see like a character in Finding Nemo who's just very like extreme and just stretched out. I don't know. Also, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just in a state of rage.
State of rage. As yeah, you said that so calmly, which is like the creepiest type of rage to be in. It's so calm, Lord.
What about you, friend?
Oh man. All right. What was most disturbing to me was at the end, watching Becca on the couch with Garrett. So seeing her sitting there on the couch, looking, you know, just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. To me, what I kept thinking in my head, she was like a vision of white liberal female privilege. And she lives in this realm that I could just never access.
Nope.
A realm where she sleeps very well at night knowing that she voted for Hillary. and then wakes up in bed next to a man who has some very choice beliefs on immigrants, LGBTQ mm-hmm. community, feminists, mm-hmm. and then just together they can just, you know, just go off on their journey of self-education and growing.
Right. Learning.
And
yeah.
I'm just so over people who ain't really about this life but get to reap the benefits of calling themselves liberal and mm-hmm. appear to be social justice oriented because they go to a march once. And so, like, watching the show, it just, or watching really that ending, and just, I mean, The Bachelor's always been problematic, but seeing this ending and seeing Becca and Garrett smiling on the couch together and seeing all the, like, smiling white women in the audience and just all the smiles and the cheers and Chris Harrison talking about the love and then this and that, I just felt like this show really ain't for me.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
Really sitting there, I was like, this show, they're not thinking of Natasha, black-ass Natasha living in Harlem watching, like, they're not thinking about me watching this, making this show. I really felt like, not even in Wakanda, just like in a whole other realm. Like, this is a world that I just can't even really understand and can't even try to understand it. And so I have, of course, opinions and thoughts and feelings, but like, I can't even get into the mindset of the likes of Becca and Garrett and this world, because it's a world that, like, I don't have the privilege to access, because I still can't overlook Garrett's Instagram. I can't.
Yeah, no.
I just can't. And so it's very hard for me to feel, you know, all happy hunky-dory and, you know, she's found love and blah, 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 blah. But, like, I just feel weird. I just am in a state of weirdness.
And I think the thing that our fantastic listeners who've written in, who have had their parents who are on opposing views, or them and their spouse, is that it was usually on maybe one or two choice issues. Like, not really. They didn't really disagree on a whole lot.
Right.
This man was going on a spree on Instagram.
All kinds
on
of
every
issues.
Yeah. Every community. Just spinning the wheel of whoever was offended, he would just spin it and see who lands and just double tap. And the fact that it was so many issues is something that I know you and I could never look over.
Nope.
And I don't know how Becca could either.
I know how. Because she ain't about this life. She ain't about this life. She sleeps well knowing that she's a liberal and can go to a march. And I love Obama. I voted for him twice. Did I tell you I would vote for a third time? Like, she's that type. She not about this life.
Yeah.
She really not. And so even more so, like, you know, people are like, you know, he's past it. All you have to tell them, you know, they're learning. He's apologized. Mm-hmm. That's all he can really say at this point. Blah, 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 blah. But even after, like, even in the midst of all of that, like, I still never got, like, a full explanation that I could feel satisfied with. Not from Garrett.
For Garrett.
Yeah, not for, right. My nigga still trying to find out about this 2-month marriage, but that is a whole nother issue. But, like, I never, still sitting on that couch, we still got this very Band-Aid apology and this Band-Aid explanation, and I still just feel, like, so unsatisfied. And ABC can feel very satisfied. Chris Harrison, the producers, because somebody was telling me how, I was shocked to see that he was addressing the Instagram thing on the couch, because someone was saying that one of the producers, one of the executives, was on a podcast earlier, another podcast in the week, where he was saying that, you know, Garrett did his apology, so we don't need to keep rehashing it, or blah, 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 blah. So they feel all fine and dandy with their apology and how they've neatly bundled this up. I still feel very unsatisfied with this explanation. And you know what? But Garrett doesn't owe me an explanation, because I already know where he stands and these type of people, and whatever. Like, I'm just, like, exhausted by these types.
Just tired. Yeah.
So anyways, before we get to the recap, quickly, shout out to Refinery29, who put us in an article calling out the Bachelor podcast, who you have to listen to on Monday night. So exciting.
Agreed.
Cheers for 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose.
Woo!
Thank you to all the listeners out there and all of y'all following us on Twitter and Facebook and rating and reviewing and just really building this community. And like every time you respond to us and every time you tweet at us and do a little hashtag, and that's helping us grow. That's helping other people see us. That's helping us get recognized by, you know, press like Refinery 21 and seeing like the good work that we're putting in, or at least the good work we think we're putting in.
Yeah, right.
And so that was very, very heartwarming to see. So definitely go look at that. It was Refinery 29 article, "These Bachelor Podcasts Will Help You Analyze All the Monday Night Drama," was the name of it. We were number 2 on the list, motherfuckers. I'm so hyped about it.
So excited, yes.
So hyped.
And thank you to everybody who does any sort of interaction with us, because it does not go unnoticed. I know we shout out the emails every week, but anything on Twitter, anything on Facebook, anything you guys send us, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so, 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 so much. And, you know, continue to show your appreciation, rate, review, subscribe. If you haven't done that already, please. I know all y'all listening out there have not done it already. Because the number of reviews versus the number of downloads on the episode ain't matching up. So for the ones out there, I'm saying it again, broken record, please rate, review, subscribe. Really, really appreciate it. That is like your payment to us. Your payment for the, you know, putting out these podcasts and just letting us know that we're doing a good thing, that we should keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So let us know. Keep going.
Exactly. Also, our Twitter, if you're not already following us on Twitter, it is live. Our, especially right now, like literally in this moment.
Oh my god, it's crazy.
I can't keep up with the mentions. We're about to record the podcast and been cleaning up our notes and talking like that, so I haven't even been able to go look at the mentions anymore. But our Twitter is live and popping, so if you're ready, if you're not on it already, then you're already missing out. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 Rose.
And email us. Our inbox is also popping. We have a lot of stories in there. Lots of good, juicy stuff. So if you want to tell us anything or let us know, or we give a call out and you have an answer, email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 Rose at gmail.com.
Yep. And we are also on Facebook. And very exciting. Justine and I are, because we love you guys so much, and we want to keep interacting with you guys, we are actually going to be testing out the Facebook Live feature. And so coming up over Paradise and, you know, moving forward, we're going to be doing some Facebook Lives, a way to, you know, chat with you guys, interact with you guys. So more to come on that. But if you're not on Facebook, or if you're not already liking us on Facebook, go and do that so you can, you know, fully participate in all the fun stuff we have to come.
Yep.
And that's it. Church announcements and Bachelor Nation news we're going to save for tomorrow's episode with Bachelor in Paradise, because this here finale is just too much. And so we're just going to dive right on in.
Let's go.
So we're in the Maldives.
Okay. Yep.
And shout out to my brother and his sister-in-law. That's where they went on their honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're at the Maldives, staying, Becca is again staying at the Shangri-La. Shout out to the Shangri-La's doing some real promotion on this year's season.
Oh, yeah, they were in Thailand.
They were,
right?
Yeah, Thailand too, somewhere else. So shout out to them. So she's in the Maldives. She shows up. She's looking very cute and summery in her little two-piece set. She's, you know, talking about her guys, Blake and Garrett. Blake, the most consistent and strongest since day one. Remember these words, y'all, because she said these exact words about 4-5 times on this goddamn episode. And yet,
just on this episode.
Just on this episode. And yet, who won?
No.
Okay, let's keep going. Garrett. I don't even know what she said about him, because, you know, I'm PayPal.
Me either. I can't. No. I tune it out. I can't even deal.
Oh. So, my dude, they show Garrett rolling up to his little villa. He's wearing a t-shirt and some gym shorts. Like, he just came from phys ed class in third grade, because that's where he's doing his English lessons currently. Just no outfit. No cute button down. No little Hawaiian shirt. No little cargo pants. A t-shirt and gym shorts. Justine,
And those rainbow flip-flops, I'm telling you, them rainbow flip-flops, they are treacherous.
Oh, my God. Oh, they are so terrible. The horror. Mm-hmm. So, Garrett. So, as you guys know, we've been absolutely done with Garrett on this podcast pretty much since the very minute this Instagram scandal broke. So, we just want to recap for the record just exactly why we don't fuck with this nigga. Mm-hmm. Garrett liked Instagram memes that were more than conservative. They were downright offensive. And the kind of content that one would expect, I'm just going to say a Trump supporter. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
To like.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
These were memes that mocked feminists, that mocked undocumented immigrants. There was a very shocking image of image mocking what appeared to be an immigrant child being thrown over the border. He double-tapped liked on that. Colin Kaepernick didn't like the meme or something offensive to him. So you already know Garrett has uttered the words "All Lives Matter."
Oh.
Lord. The trans community. And a meme suggesting that David Hogg, a survivor of Parkland shooting and who is a fervent activist out here in these streets. Mm-hmm. I love that kid. A meme calling him a crisis actor. These are the things, for the record, that Garrett liked on Instagram. So, just putting that out there. Let's continue with the recap.
Oh, we're not being dramatic.
No,
okay?
Not being dramatic. Just remember the context of the man that we're dealing with here. Okay? Moving on. So, Becca, her family's here. She goes to meet her family. She's very anxious to hear what their opinions are going to be of the guys. They're each going to meet the guys one by one. My first thing is, where was Uncle Gary?
I thought about that, but then I thought about how you said he wasn't getting on that plane with their canes.
Getting on the plane. They couldn't Skype my man in. I needed him to be here.
I know.
I'm missing this voice of reason. Shit. No Uncle Gary, we had two other uncles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she tells her family that she's in love with both of them, but hasn't told them yet. First up is Garrett. It's always, in my opinion, an advantage to go first to meet the family.
Yep.
So I already was like, fuck. I was already pissed when I see him walking up first. So Garrett's up first. She lets them know he's been married before. It only lasted 2 months. So more context. More context for Garrett.
So you know, don't worry about it. It only lasted 2 months.
Only two months. No worries, guys. So Garrett walks up, finally dressed appropriately this time. Had a nice little button down. Jesus. The sister, Emily, she asks him, you know, tell me about the dates that you've been on. And he reminisces, I totally forgot about this, of when they went fly fishing in the pool on the first night. Mm-hmm. Another theme that came up a lot, the fly fishing. Haven't heard about this in a while, but it came up a lot on this date.
Yeah.
Or on this episode. You know,
because that's what they like to do in Minnesota.
That's what they like to do. The fly fishing reminds her of her father. It was just a constant theme whenever they brought up Garrett and why she liked Garrett. Oh, because he fly fishes, and I love that. So they sit for lunch together. Garrett manages to string together some nouns and vowels and verbs. And puts together a nice little toast. I'll give him this. He gave a nice little toast.
Yes, that toast was good.
It was good. He said, I know not everyone is able to be here today, you know, referencing her father, but they're all here in spirit. Nice little touch. Appreciated it. Didn't even say her father. Just kind of like implied. We all kind of knew, you know, what he was mentioning. So Becca, she chats with her mom first. Ask her mom, you know, what do you think dad would say? Or what would he think? The mom says, you know, dad would love seeing you guys all lovey-dovey, but also, you have to remember, you came in with Ari very lovey-dovey. So, what's going on there? And the mom asks her, so what's different about him? And Becca says, you know, I can be me when I'm with Garrett. Wouldn't she say the same thing about Blake? Like,
that's the thing. I have so many questions about that. And wouldn't you say the same thing about Ari? You weren't yourself when you were with Ari?
Apparently not. That's true. That's a good point.
Who were you?
So then who were you then?
What?
That's very true. Not even Blake, but with Ari, are you saying that you weren't yourself with him?
Were you trying to pretend to be something else?
Something else? Oh, God.
So then next up, Garrett's sitting with one of the uncles, who
Uncle Chuck
flat out was like, what the fuck was up with that 2-month marriage?
I love that.
Fresh out the gate.
I love that.
So now Garrett, he had a new story this time.
Yeah.
Where'd this one come from?
I was like, oh, we haven't seen this side yet. Okay.
I haven't heard this one, this little storyline. So he said, quote, when the ring went on, there was a big blowout with the family.
The family.
His family, I'm guessing.
Gotta get these pronouns right.
Right.
Garrett.
You gotta give him a little time with that one. Still working on nouns. Ain't on the pronouns yet. And so he mentioned this big blowout with the family. First, I'm hearing this. And how she never wanted to get to know the family or resolve it, really. So we knew that the girl apparently had, like, long... She had, like, issues with the family getting along, but it's the first time he said there was a big blowout. Or, like, there was this... He made it sound like there was one big catastrophic moment or something.
Right. Also, I still have questions about this timeline. He keeps saying that she had issues with the family after they got married, but didn't they live together?
Yes. I don't understand that either. They haven't got... Since he said that, like, that they lived together, they haven't gone back and talked about that.
Right.
And cleared up, like, how did you were with someone for multiple years, lived together, got married, and soon after you got married, it ended, and suddenly all the issues with the family started? Like, that,
how,
what was happening the 3 years y'all were together before? Where was the family during that? Just, we're getting still to the very end, no clarity on this marriage.
None. And a new story
at that. So the uncle, he asks, so how will you change next time, or going into this new relationship with Becca, like, how will you change it? Like, how will things be different? And he said, you know, I'll lean more on my family to seek out their advice. And, you know, made me realize, you know, being with Becca during this, you know, time and not having her dad here has made me realize, like, how tough it is for her not having someone so crucial in her family here with her. And then, you know, that's when the waterworks started, and this nigga was crying for the rest of the episode.
And, like, about this, his grandmother and his mom, who's a cancer survivor, shout out to her, but, like, why didn't we know this during hometowns?
Right. Or, this to me was very weird editing.
Yeah.
Because to not know that Garrett shared, because Becca's dad died from cancer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to not, for us as viewers to not know that Garrett also had family history of cancer, his grandfather passed away from cancer, like, that would have been a nice little touch just to know.
Right.
Just to know, because right now it's to his disservice, it looked like a throw-in.
Yeah.
So
right.
We're all sitting
exactly.
here, because I even saw people on Twitter, they're like, what? He's bringing up cancer? He's trying to get sympathy? And, like,
yes.
That was a disservice to him to make it sound like he was kind of throwing in this last minute bit when really, I'm sure they had this conversation before. Why they chose not to show that in editing is, like, very, very odd.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, what I was going to say just left me. Keep going.
Okay. So we heard, you know, we learned this a little bit more about Garrett. He's getting very emotional, he's crying and all that jazz. So then Garrett sits with Becca's sister, and he says to her, you know, I feel like I have a lot of love to give, and, you know, I'll go to the edge of the earth for someone I love, and still crying, emotion's still there. And then he just starts rambling, piecing together noun, verb, pronoun. I will guard her heart. I will make sure she feels safe. I will always be there for her. I'll be strong for her. I'll keep her safe and guarded. She's what's missing in my heart. Just like these four-word sentences, about six of them. Like, through the tears as well. All of these words, just like all the endless words and, like, isms and cliches that he was spouting, it just reminds you how, like, words don't mean shit, and how action is everything.
Yeah, in relationships, action are definitely
action
more important.
Action is everything. Niggas say, they can say whatever they want.
Yeah, they do say
they
whatever
do
they
say
want.
Whatever they want. So what makes this show so unusual, and why I think this shit, I mean, the track record of relationships staying together from The Bachelor, it just doesn't work out, is because on the show, all Becca can go off of are their words.
Words.
And so it's usually when they get to the real, when they get into the real life and the actions don't match up or whatever, that's when all these relationships on Bachelor Nation break the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing him spout all these fucking whatevers, like, it just made me really, really think about that. Like, just words ain't shit. Words really ain't shit. Especially when he's piecing them together so piecemeal in the way he does. At least give me some good words, like Blake, a nice little something with some genuinity behind it. Jesus.
Something. The thing is, to me also, is that Garrett strikes me as the type who probably grew up in some sort of a church. And Becca has the cross right here on this wrist for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said during her conversation with Garrett or her conversation with the meeting with Blake, nobody said, oh, you know, Becca's a real Proverbs 31 woman. How are you going to do that? There was no mention of any Bible, no mention of any church. No mention of any, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That really, really bothered me.
Yeah. But that,
because it's, it seems like it's really one of her, like, non-negotiables. For someone who has a tattoo of the cross on them, like, it seems like something that would be extremely important to her. So for him to be saying all these things, he could have just whipped out a Bible verse.
Yeah, really get them panties to drop. I'm so reckless now, I don't give a shit. I mean, it's one of those things, like, not to always bring it back to editing, but it's like the things they choose to show. Because one would hope and assume that they had a conversation about religion, just like we hope and assume she had a conversation about politics. But
yeah, clearly
knows.
Not.
Yeah. Or maybe the fuck yeah, and she just doesn't give a shit. That too.
Could be. That would be wild. Mm-hmm. But yeah, could be.
But it's just what they choose to show, I think.
To show.
Really, it comes down. And yeah, that would have been a nice touch. Because even, like, last season with Ari, was it Tia?
They showed it.
Was it Tia or Becca? Where
I think it was
Tia, where they brought up religion.
Tia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I like Jesus, too, sometimes. Like, she was really not even, like, trying to show that she was, like, super religious. Even though we knew that she was calling Tia's mom the deaconess.
Yes.
Remember? And she was trying to downplay that shit. But they rarely bring up religion or any of those big topics on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really what they choose to, you know, bring out of editing. But I hear you. Yeah, that would have been nice to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, next, Becca sits with her sister. Her sister says about Garrett, you know, he's incredible. I feel like I've known him for years. And then the sister reveals that Garrett cried and he was with her, and then Becca starts crying, and then she's just gushing about Garrett crying and how much it means to her.
So I think I heard you say that the sister feels very comfortable, right? I heard this word a lot when it came to Garrett. Everyone feels very
like they've known him for years, Garrett. They keep saying
like they've known him for years. Shouldn't that be a red flag?
Thank you. Should we bring up who y'all knew for the last couple years?
Hello?
Ross
the boss.
Ross the boss for 7 years, who ran your sister through the fucking ringer. And then Ari, who got down on one knee and then snatched that ring back real quick. Any instance of familiarity, y'all need to run.
Stop it. It's got to go.
Stop the madness. Oh, God.
And honestly, you know, if we're not going to throw it back on Becca and say that Garrett is exactly like Ross, which, I mean, duh. But this is a television show where nothing should be comfortable. And that's what I really appreciate about Sean's journey.
Sean, like Sean and Catherine?
Sean and Catherine. Mm-hmm. He welcomed the fact that nothing about it was going to be normal, that he was doing something crazy, and he was going to do something crazy at the end and propose to some girl who he only knew for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was very realistic about that. And these people are just like, oh, yes, he's fly fishes. Oh, my God, yes. This is great. No. What? Like, any sign of comfort, you got to run.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good point. You're not supposed to be comfortable in this situation. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're so comfortable with this man should almost be, like, kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was that. She walked him out. The family loved him. And yeah. Next up is Blake.
Oh, Lord.
So she says to the camera, yet again, I've been in love with Blake for a while now. He's kind and honest and has always been open and vulnerable. So again, keep tabs on this. The fact that she like says, I've been in love with Blake for a while. Not even just I love Blake, I've been in love with him for a while. She said that very statement multiple times this episode, which made the ending even just ever more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Basically. And I'll give Blake that he has been extremely vulnerable in this situation or in this whole show, and she has not needed to drag things out of him in the way that she's had to drag shit out of Garrett, in the way she had to drag, you know, things out of Jason.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very forthcoming with where he stands, his past, his trials and tribulations, like every fucking thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think we love Blake.
Yeah, yeah.
Very open and honest. So anyways, walking up to the family, sister inside, she said he looks like a movie star as he's walking up. Thought that was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
So Blake, he sits with the family. You know, they're chatting, getting to know him. He reminds them that he had the very first one-on-one date, which I even forgot. And that, you know, he told her that he loved her in Bahamas, which was, like, very, very early on. Like, way earlier than a lot of the guys.
Yeah, that was, like, 3 trips ago. Yeah,
that was a minute ago. So, Blake, he sits first with Sister Emily. The sister's very intrigued to see how different he is from Garrett. And she says to him, I can already tell that there's something between you and my sister. And so she asks him, you know, what is it about Becca in particular? And he says, you know, look, I gravitate towards strong, independent women. And we work best together. We work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the sister asked, have there been any challenging moments, you know, over this journey? And he basically just said, like, the last week was very tough, just being in his head and really realizing that these relationships are getting real and that he can't imagine his life without her. Blake's intuition has been kicking.
I know.
For these last 1 or 2 weeks. We've been talking like, oh, poor Blake, he's in the confessionals, he's in his head, he's da-da-da-da-da. That was some gut intuition that was telling him something. He, as much as he felt very sure about his feelings for Becca, there was something in the pit of his stomach that didn't ever feel 100% reassured.
Right, right. He knew that she had something else with somebody else.
And he couldn't shake that. He really couldn't shake that. Next up, Becca sits with her sister, and the sister flat out says, Garrett would be a wonderful father, and I love his silliness. But Blake, he just told me that he's attracted to strong, independent women, and I think that he would challenge you and be more of a teammate to you. And Becca immediately starts to cry.
Because she knows that she is going to have to get... fucking, what are those cartoons that we learned? Schoolhouse Rock for Garrett, okay? And have to put in those tape. What is it, on Hulu now? Have to watch it on Hulu. As soon as they get back from... Yes, from tomato farming.
Hooked on Phonics? Remember
Hooked on Phonics?
That's what she said. She started crying like, fuck.
God,
I gotta start homeschooling this nigga. And I order some Hooked on Phonics. Lord, I got an uphill battle with this dude.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Blake used the word exponentially, which I know Garrett doesn't know. So he's already miles ahead. Oh my God.
Oh, jeez. So Becca, she says in her confessional, again, another thing she uttered multiple times. For the longest time, I always thought it'd be Blake.
Mm-hmm.
But Garrett has been great. And he's the bigger risk, and so now I'm feeling guilty for feeling the way that I do about someone else. Basically saying that she's always been there with Blake. Now that these feelings for Garrett are creeping up, she feels guilty about those feelings.
Yeah, right.
So Blake then sits with the mom and, you know, tells the mom again how he said, quote, fell embarrassingly early for Becca, and how she's incredibly special, yada yada. The mom now to Blake. And now, Blake, we already know he is fully in his head. He's gone second, and he knows this. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he needs, like, reassurance. Needs it. Mm-hmm. The mom says to him, you know, I don't know what she's going to decide, but you'll be fine either way.
That is horrific. I can't believe she said that to him.
That is not what this man needs to hear at this moment.
Either man.
Like, either of them. Yeah. So in his confessional, he's like, I love these moments of Blake in the confessional where he's like, him in a padded room. Yeah. In a straitjacket, just bouncing off the walls, just like thinking and writing on the walls and shit. And so he's like, well, you know, why would the mom say that? What does that mean? Like, really dissecting everything. And the fact that she even brought up the hypothetical, you know, situation of him not winning is making him think, fuck, what does the mom know? That kind of thing. So Blake, he then sits with the uncles. One uncle said, you know, have you thought about if you don't get chosen? And he's like, fuck, this is another person who's bringing this up. And then the other uncle, which I love this question, he said, is there anything I should be concerned about Garrett?
Yes.
Man, I wanted Blake so badly to throw this guy under the bus.
Oh my god, I just wanted him to be like, yo, he did not take the SATs. He is the worst. Garbage. His favorite movie is Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Like, I just...
Anything.
I just wanted anything.
Anything.
But you can't. That question, as much as I love that question for, like, if me and you asked it, or even the sister, like, man to man, you can't throw another man in the bus like that.
No, no. Even if the sister asks,
like a pussy.
He can't really say nothing.
Yeah.
Because then that reflects bad on him, even though we all know and want him to say certain things, but
yeah,
you know, he can't. So anyways, Blake, he's really having a tough time. It's really, really hard to go second. All he keeps hearing about is Garrett. They keep comparing him to Garrett. Garrett keeps being brought up. The prospect of him not winning keeps springing up. It's very reminiscent of Becca last season. She went second.
Yep.
Same thing. Ari's family kept bringing up Lauren B. It was driving her nuts. So Blake is essentially going through the exact same thing. So when it's time for him to leave, you know, he walks out with Becca, and Blake is leaving not feeling good. Like he said, like, he's very worried about just kind of the way she was looking at him, and just, like, the way everything planned out. He just didn't have a good feeling from the family. It didn't really feel, well, leave feeling very, very confident. And then he said he's worried that him and Becca fell in love so fast with Becca that now she has this kind of new, fresh thing with Garrett, and he's feeling a little bit threatened by that. Like, he's the old head that she'd been, he's around the way, nigga, from back home that she'd been in love with. Now Garrett pops up like the new, you know, new thing on the street, and so he's feeling a bit threatened by that.
Which... I don't know. I mean, I've never been stranded with no internet in the Maldives, but I would think, if I was Becca, that while that is true, she has been in love with him for a long time, their relationship has been, like, slow and... slow and steady and, like, consistent and all that stuff. He is actually the risk because he's not like anybody she's dated.
Thank you. Yep. Yep.
So I don't know why they keep calling Garrett the risk when she also keeps saying he reminds me of home. Those two don't go together.
Mm-mm. They keep calling him the risk because he's the one that's been married before. Like, they keep...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
They keep, talking about that. But what are you saying? So Blake is a little bit more of
Blake
a risk.
Blake is the risky one because he is not like anybody she's dated before.
Yes. He's very new. He is... treating her like gold.
Yep.
Which don't seem like she's gotten that too much. I mean, 7 years of Ross the Boss treating her like trash.
And Ari,
who ultimate piece of shit. So yeah, Blake, you're right. That could be argued like he's more the risky one because he's more kind of unknown. He's he is very, it seems almost too good to be true.
Yep, he's very vulnerable. She has not dated somebody that vulnerable, I don't think.
Right. And, like, it is very risky jumping into somebody who, like, there's been no red flags whatsoever.
Right.
So he actually, you're right, that he was actually the bigger risk. And the final kind of debrief with her family, you know, she sends Blake packing, and She sits down one last time with her family. And the mom says, off rip, she said, Blake seems like an equal. Like, he's on your level, like he's on your team. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts that were kind of thrown out there about Blake. They say he's very similar to you. The uncle said you guys were like bookends. He seems like a very good match. One uncle flat out said, I love the guy. Like, mm-hmm. And then the other uncle said, I don't even know where he got this from. He said, I liked Garrett. He's a poet.
Oh, hell. Let me tell you something. No. Okay? Let me tell all of you something here. Do you know how if I was Becca, I would say immediately, Uncle Chuck, thank you so much. That is my deciding factor. I'm going with Blake. Because you know, we have a whole episode about it. You all know how I feel about poets.
We sure do.
So the fact that he even saw the intuition of a poet with a man who has a 30-word vocabulary is so telling.
Oh, my God.
So telling to the man he is. Oh,
where did the uncle even get that from? Did I miss something he said?
Absolutely nowhere. And shout out to everybody on Twitter who caught the reference.
Yes. Mad people were like, Justine, no! He said, poet, run, Blake, run! I mean, run, Becca, run! God.
Just further proof. Further proof. Run for them poets.
Run, run, run. That is like the oddest. I mean, he's saying it like a compliment, but just the oddest compliment to give Garrett, who he doesn't speak very eloquently at all.
At all. At all.
So I don't know where the uncle got that from.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God. Very strange and a humongous red flag.
Yep.
So the sister, you know, they're still doing the debrief. The sister says, she asked her, will Garrett challenge you in the way that, like, Blake would? We didn't get an answer. And the uncle says, also very telling, another uncle, he said, whoever you choose should have passion for, should have passions for the issues you care about.
Hmm.
We talking political issues here, Uncle Chuck? Or
what issues are you talking about? Right,
what issues
exactly.
Are you talking about? What was that? What got cut out in that? What got edited out in that conversation that we missed?
Yeah, because I don't know what other issues he would be speaking about.
Yeah, I don't know where.
Like, I'm sure he drove her to a rally, dropped off her and her friends or something after church.
Right.
And, like, is talking about that. But I don't know what else he could be saying.
Yeah.
And she, what I would know, doesn't know the answer to that question.
Exactly.
So.
That was a strange moment. It was like a sound bite dropped by the uncle, but we got no context around it. Like, were they in the middle of having a conversation about, you know, during the fantasy suites, we did talk about our political beliefs or whatever, and then the uncle's like, well, you should choose someone who shares your passions for the, like, we missed what came before and afterwards, so it's, like, just sitting there out of nowhere. And then the sister said what I thought was so adorable. She, you know, she looked at Becca and she said, you're my soulmate, and I want you to find your soulmate.
That's so cute.
And I just wanted to cry.
Oh, my God.
So true. I love the concept of, like, you know, your friends being your soulmates, mm-hmm. or your, you know, your family, like siblings or whatnot. Like, you're being so close, you feel so connected that they are like your soulmate, not in a romantic way, but in a way that they understand and feel your heart in a way that, like, other people can't.
Yeah, I definitely feel that about some of my friends.
Yeah, same.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah. I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, mm-hmm. especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
100%. So yes, that was cute. And then at the end, she had a conversation with her mom where she pretty much left with no clarity. Like, no more clarity on this issue. Thanks, Mom, but, you know.
Yeah, like, I was like, Mom, what? This is no advice at all. None. But I don't know, maybe they had more to say and they cut out.
I feel like my parents, you know, the parents, they always kind of tiptoe around. They don't want to tell the son or daughter, like, what to do. But I feel like my parents, if they had a clear choice in their heart, they would tell me. And I'd want to hear it, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. I would want to hear it as well. I don't think my parents would have a clear choice. You know my parents. Mm-hmm. My parents love everyone.
Your dad, I love them.
You know,
both.
In Christ.
Uh-huh.
So they are some of the worst judges of character I know. They are. They love everyone.
They do.
They love everyone.
They really do.
And while I value their opinion about a lot of this stuff, I know how wrong they've steered me in the past.
Direction of some straight fuckboys.
Some straight up mess.
Yeah.
Oh god. And I'm like, no, it's okay. You just have to love people where they are. I'm like,
no, what? Mother and father. What? We need to talk more about this. And
I know.
Because you got some stories. Your shit's hilarious.
I have so many good ones.
I love your parents to death, but yeah, they do. They are not very discerning.
At all. You know who I would really look forward to is my brother.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
My brother is an excellent judge of character, and he would do right by me.
Mm, good.
The mother too.
The mother too.
I don't know.
I'll leave you out to dry. Oh, Lord. So family time is over. Now it's time for their individual, you know, last dates. First up, Garrett, again. And so they go out on a boat, and Becca, you know, saying about Garrett, you know, he's a ball of positive energy. I like that our relationship has evolved slowly. She tells him about what the sister said about him, how she felt like she knew him, and yada yada. So they keep... Again, they keep riding on this motif that they keep pushing this episode with Garrett feeling familiar, Garrett feeling like family, mm-hmm. Garrett feeling like he's, you know, like you've known him forever. And I feel like they're almost constructing, like the producers or whatever, they're trying to construct this narrative of like, he is, like they're trying to force us to believe that he is the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you turn down someone who you say is like your dad? And how do you turn down somebody who the whole family feels familiar with? Like there's a reason they kept these little editing choices in and kept pushing these little motifs, and it's part of the package that they're trying to, you know, garner sympathy for Garrett and for this relationship that a lot of people are going to be fucking pissed about. And so
That's the thing, they're trying to make him likable.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly it. They're, you know, chatting, gushing over each other, and then, you know, some dolphins appear, they go, which was pretty dope, and then They go swimming with the dolphins and blah, blah, blah. Garrett's just talking endlessly about how great she is. Time for the night portion of their dates. This is their last night together. It's the last time that he's going to be able to see her before final decisions. So it's their time to get everything out there. And, you know, they're just talking about how magical their date was and blah, blah. Garrett, you know, he says, you know, I can't wait for our future together. You know, changing diapers and going to the grocery store and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's such regular shit.
Very regular. But this is the kind of like family man. Mm-hmm. He came in on the minivan and he knows the way to Becca's heart as a Midwestern basic white girl, that this is what she wants. She wants the minivan, they go to the grocery store, they have the kids. Like, this is music to her ears. So he just keeps riding with it. Becca, you know, she's talking about their fantasy suite, him snoring and all this other shit. So she asks Garrett, very similar question she asked to Ari, I believe, during their last night. Is there anything you wish you should ask me? Or is there anything that you want to ask me right now? Mm. Anything else lingering on your mind? And Garrett, very similar to Ari, was like, nah, I'm good. I got all my answers. I love your smile. I can't wait to be together. What? I can't wait to start our future. Whenever these people come with this nonsense, you need to run. Because as I said, literally last season with Ari, if you don't have no questions on this last night, you don't have no concerns, you don't have anything that you want to address with her before you go down on one knee tomorrow, something ain't right.
Yeah.
Something ain't right with you. Something ain't right about the situation. But something ain't right with you if you don't have any questions. That is so bizarre. You are so ready to get down on one knee to somebody else again. Someone you do barely know. And you ain't got not one question.
Oh my God. And as Becca keeps saying, I'm going to keep throwing her words in her face. As Becca keeps saying, he's the risky one.
Right.
So why doesn't the risky one who just came in the last, I don't know, 5 episodes out of 13 out the woodwork, why doesn't he have any questions if he's the risk?
Right. And is that within itself not a red flag for you?
Right.
So,
no, but that's okay. It's fine.
It's all fine.
It's all fine. It's great.
As she said, when I met you, you remind me of my dad with the fly fishing. You have the same hobbies. The fly fishing, the fly fishing, the fly fishing. Did I mention that I love the fly fishing? Over and over and over. So Garrett, you know, he's really in his feelings. Starts tearing up again. It said, you know, talking to your mom, I feel like I was talking with your dad, like your dad was there too. And then he said, you know, you don't, you know, when I'm with you, you know, people talk about having butterflies. You don't give me butterflies. You give me eagles. And this, as you know, was my Get Me to Wakanda moment.
Oh my God, get us there.
Because only Trump supporting ass Republicans reference fucking eagles. Only they remember that the eagle is the national fucking bird or whatever of this country.
Compared to a butterfly.
Butterfly? What? Fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then didn't he say something about the 4th of July also?
Something about the just keep bringing up this flag!
Yeah.
The theme of patriotism when he talks about Becca's love. Something don't sit right with me.
Ugh.
So yeah, that was my moment. Anyways, Garrett, he's sitting in the confessional, he's crying, and then said, quite possibly, I didn't know it could get worse, I didn't know it could get dumber than I feel like there's fucking eagles in my stomach, but he said probably the dumbest things that I've said, that I've heard to date, when he said, I don't think anyone's made Becca realize her worth.
Okay. This I have theories on.
And this was my nigga, you ain't shit moment. I'm sorry, just throw that out there.
Wow!
I had to slide that in there. What are you gonna say? Because I got something to say too. Go ahead.
So, I feel like he said this, and you know what? I feel like this statement is okay, because she just had her heart shattered into 5 million pieces. Less than 3 months before that? Mm-hmm. So, when that happens, sometimes having a man act and say how worthy you are to him in multiple different ways is not only beneficial, but it's also like a test.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
A test for...
A test to see if he's worth a damn. You know what I mean?
But what does that have to do with her worth?
So that is showing... That is him showing her, I know what you're worth. Not him validating her worth. I see them as being different.
But he said...
Because Ari didn't know her worth.
He didn't know her worth. But Garrett said... no one's made her realize her worth. Like, Becca hasn't realized her worth. He's not talking about him realizing her worth. He's saying that she hasn't seen her own worth.
Well, he said no one's made her realize her worth. Is that
what he said? I don't think anyone's made Becca realize her worth.
Realize her worth. Yeah, you could read that in a few different ways. Because how I heard that was no man has ever shown her you're worth the world.
Okay.
Rather than her not realizing what she's worth.
Okay. Because that's how I read it. I read it as her, you know, not realizing how worthy she is. And this is some strange way of saying that men can show her her worth, which you already know that's ass backwards. Because only you alone can find your own self-worth and your self-love. You cannot get that from no man. So when he said that, it's like this whole narrative of like this knight in shining armor coming to save the damsel in distress, and you know, I'll show her that she's worthy of love. And it's like, no, I'm hoping that she figured that out before, because then that's a whole nother issue. She has no business looking for love if she's trying to find worth through it. So that statement, I could see how it could be read in different ways, but I took it as how he said it, and nigga, you ain't shit for that.
You're garbage.
So next up is Blake's final date. And Becca says to the camera again, I feel like our hearts recognize one another. You can't say shit like this and then not pick this guy in the end. Like, she says the most profound things about him and then being like, souls are connected and like... all this stuff to make it believe like this is like her person, like that kind of, you know, verbiage that she's saying about him, and then you don't choose him in the end. It's just very, very strange.
Because I don't hear that about Garrett.
Not near anything like this about Garrett. It's always, I love his energy, and he reminds me of, you know, fly fishing with my friends.
He's just so silly. He's
so silly, and he's got great energy. Like, that doesn't make a husband.
No.
So anyways, for their date, they're on bikes, they're riding around this island that they're on, they go paddle boarding, they go for a swim, all cute. So they sit down on the beach. Becca tells Blake, you know, my family loved you, my sister said she had nothing but positive things to say about you, and she said, which was like a kind of pseudo reference to Ross, that this is all that she's ever wanted or needed from her family, for them to say that the guy that she's with, there's nothing but positive things to say.
Oh. About
him. Yeah. She didn't say Ross, but she was almost referencing, like, I've been through some shit, and my family has never really said these profound things about a person I've been with. And so, you know, that's some good stuff that they said about you. And so, you know, Becca again says to him, I've been using, you know, all of these dates, these last dates, every last moment to figure out what's best for me, what's best for you guys. It was like a very odd statement. Blake, his face in that moment, you can tell he's literally examining every word, every syllable, everything that's coming out of her mouth. Because again, that pit in his stomach, that little intuition... Every word that she says means a lot at this moment. So he's really, really reading into everything. So Becca reiterates to him again. She feels so confident and solid with him. And I think she says in her confessional that she can't imagine saying goodbye or him saying goodbye to me. So that little statement to me was like, because in my head watching the show, I'm still thinking that Blake is winning.
Oh, really? I knew Garrett
was going to win. I didn't want to believe that Blake wasn't going to win, especially after hearing that he's my soulmate and the best man I ever met in my whole life and all this shit that she's saying. So when she said that, like, I can't imagine saying goodbye to him. In my head, I'm like, oh, okay, he got this. We good.
Yeah.
So anyways, they stand in the water, making out, whatever. So time for the nighttime portion of their dates. Becca joins Blake at his villa. Blake whips out a gift that he made, and it was a time capsule, and I fell in love because I love time capsules.
You do?
I love them. I think it was last year, I got, this wasn't really a time capsule, but my third grade teacher, mailed me a letter that I'd written to myself in, the third grade. I love shit like that. Like, these little letters that you write and you open it 10 years later, or, a little box of goodies that you look back on. Love it.
Oh, my God.
You ain't like it?
Wow. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
What?
I was like, Blake, I was confused, but you know what? I'm not into that stuff. I'm not into the scrapbooking, you know? I'm not into saving, your chicken Caesar wrapper, your soft drink straw. I'm in Atlanta, and this is where we fell in love. I'm not into it. That's not for me. It's not for me. But you know what, Blake? I still love them.
I'm not a scrapbooker. I throw everything. I'm so indiscriminate with throwing. I throw shit and a week later I'm like, fuck, I need that paper.
Yeah, where is that?
I don't hang on to a lot of stuff, but I just love a good time. I love the idea behind time capsules, reflecting on memories. I think this was nice. It was cute. It was filled with pictures of their time together and all that jazz. So anyways, they're, looking over the time capsule. Becca, she says, he's so good at everything. He's romantic. He stimulates me. And we have great conversation. Words never spoken about Garrett. I don't think anyone has ever called this guy a great conversationalist.
Ooh. Whoa. I thought you were going to start off with romantic.
The other two, romantic, maybe stimulate. I don't know about that. And then
maybe.
Great conversationalist.
What? Stimulate what? God.
So, Blake, in this moment, he's just saying all the right things. I can't even, I think I tuned out because I was like, he won. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm good. saying all the right things, winning over all of our hearts. Becca, in the confessional, says, quote, "All I wanted this week was clarity. And I can see Blake standing before me, professing his love and me professing it back."
That's it. And when he was talking about the future, he was talking in very real conceptual ideas. Mm-hmm. He wasn't saying I can picture you making a ham and cheese, and then sending it off with little Garrett Jr. we can go to Costco. No, he was like, in the future, I see us supporting each other, even when things go wrong. All the good things that they're high level, but they're all stuff that you want to talk about, not some, I can picture you driving the minivan. Wow.
Right, which is just feels empty, just empty words. Yeah. Still saying to the very end, very, very, very bold things about Blake, which just really threw me for a loop by the end. And then Blake, even in his confessional, when they said goodbye, he said, we kissed for a very long time, and she smiled at me in a way that I could sense that everything was good.
Because he's searching for validation, really? Because he knows he ain't winning.
That's true. The pit of his stomach was telling him, but he took the little wink and smile or whatever the hell she gave him.
Yeah.
And ran with it. And I ran with it too. I ain't gonna lie. I was real. I was not expecting this. Anyways, morning of, Becca, she's getting ready. She reads a letter from her sister. Which was sweet. Garrett goes to meet Neil Lane, the diamond guy, who was looking freshly charred from the tanning bed.
I know. He looks like he's another one who looked like the Wayne Newton.
Mm-hmm. And that same boat. Leathery and too much tightness of the face. Nipped and tucked a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Why do people, can't they just age properly?
And just drink your water and moisturize.
Drink water.
That will just help everything.
Right, y'all got the money for good skincare products.
Right.
The good expensive serums. Use them. God damn. Out here nipping and tucking your face looking like fucking, I don't even know. Him and Wayne Newton look like one and the same. You're going to the same doctor. God. And tan is shit. The brownness looks terrible. I don't know who why this is a good idea, who decided that they need to look this crispy brown. But okay. So Garrett chooses his ring. I didn't get a good look at it. It was an oval diamond.
It was nice. Okay. I have to say, I much prefer Garrett's than Blake's.
It was.
Oh my god. Yes.
I'm sitting here hating. I didn't even see the.
You did?
I literally just said, I didn't see the full ring. I saw that it was gold, and I love gold. I'm definitely getting a gold ring because I only wear gold. I don't wear silver or platinum.
Yeah, it was gold. It had the past, present, and future diamond, which I really like. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big fat one. It was like big fat round ring. I liked it.
Blake, next up, he wakes up, he said he's feeling good. Feels like everything is right. He goes to meet Neil Lane, chooses a cushion cut diamond. You can't go wrong with a cushion cut.
Yeah, you can. Because every single one of these basic bitches has one on Facebook showing off their K Jewelers sale ass ring. That's a cushion cut diamond. What? It's 0.5 carats. I can't
0.5? Stand it. Oh, no. 0.5 is tiny.
I can't stand it. It looks like aluminum foil.
No, stop. That ring he chose did not look like aluminum foil. That was not 0.5 carats. No,
the Neil Lane ring, it looked nice. It was very sparkly. Nice. But still, I love it. Just looks like everybody's.
But sometimes it's See, I personally, my ring, my future engagement ring.
I have to take notes for Colton.
Not even Colton's the baby daddy. We just having kids, y'all. Oh,
sorry.
Remember, I'm marrying Blake, Joe the grocer, and Peter. I'm moving to Utah. Start my life of polygamy. But so my future engagement ring, I like simple. I want like a single solitaire, I love single solitaire like cushion cuts. Just very simple, classic. That's it. That's all I need. So I gravitated more towards Blake's ring.
Okay.
So anyways, now it's time. Final moment. Becca, she shows up at the beach. Her little, final setup. Didn't like this dress.
What? I loved it. I thought she looked like a mermaid.
I was about to say I didn't like it because she looked like a mermaid.
What?
Literally about to say that. I did not like this. The white low-cut halter. I don't like halter dresses.
Oh, I love a halter dress.
It's so nice. It was like scream 1998 Miss Minneapolis tomato farm queen of the fair. Like, that's what
Queen of the fair!
Not even Miss Minnesota. Like, it was some little side local contest.
Like, she should have a tiara on or something.
I don't like this dress at all. Yeah. But yeah, white low-cut halter, loads of sequins, very mermaid-esque. And then, they show Blake and Garrett both riding up in separate boats.
Speed boats?
We already know whoever comes out first is the man going home.
Yep.
And as soon as the foot stepped down, and there was a big old size 19-foot... And I already knew my husband Blake was gone. Camera panned up, saw his face, and I was like, fuck. This isn't actually happening. My heart.
More than me not wanting Becca to pick Garrett, I didn't want to watch Blake be heartbroken.
Yes, that was a huge part of my disappointment.
Yeah.
I agree. Because he was so 100% in.
And despite his fears, he put his fears to the side and was like, you know what, I'm not gonna do this, I'm just gonna take it day by day because I love this girl and this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna jump right in. And she crushed his soul.
Yeah, I think he did this process right.
He did.
They always talk about who's here for the right reasons, the wrong reasons, yada yada yada. Like, I really believe Blake was really here for the right reasons. And he really opened himself up to Becca, stayed out the drama in the house, really put it all out there with he's had a crazy past too, all kinds of stuff, laid it all out there, talked about what he's learned from his past, has been very mature, very forthcoming, very good with his words and everything this whole season,
And so just to know that he was about to be sent home when he really worked the system in the way that we want them to, you know, we're looking for that guy to be there for the right reasons. And then he goes home in the end. It was just really sad. So anyway, so he walks up, and what really pisses me off is she lets him go into his speech.
I know. She should have just started.
I always appreciate when they just cut them off and they just say, before you even speak, let me just get this out. And so he goes into his speech, reminiscing about their time together, you know, and when all this is done, Becca, will you let me spend the rest of my time making you smile? Why even let him get that last sentence out? God. And then she stops him, and saw the look in his face. He just knew it was over. And she says to him, you know, you gave me something to look forward to. You, again, have been the most solid, consistent relationship, a partner, a teammate. But through all that, now this is the bullshit explanation she came up with, but through all that, because we were so constant, I think I was overlooking other relationships. What does that mean?
Yeah, I was confused by that, too.
That is not...
Like, because you were so great, I was looking over all these other mediocre things.
Thank you!
What?
Thank you! That's exactly how I read it. So you're perfect in every way, shape, or form, and you've literally been outshining these other fuckboys, but now I'm gonna give the fuckboys a chance? Like...
Yeah, because it was just so distracting.
You were so perfect and so distracting. Like, this is what you came up with, Becca? What? This is a terrible explanation. Jesus. So Blake, as she's saying all this, my nigga is sweating in this hot ass
the
suit.
Sweat.
Oh my god,
it was so bad.
Ripping off his face. It's probably a mix of sweat and tears.
Yep.
And he looked like he was gonna fall out. Like, one, it's so hot he's gonna faint, and two, he just like cannot believe that this is actually happening to him right now.
Yeah,
he woke up feeling so good. He went to bed feeling so assured. He remembered the little wink and the glisten in her eye, whatever the fuck she gave him before he went to sleep. And this is his worst nightmare. This is a nightmare. So, you know, she keeps just rubbing salt in the wound. You know, I pictured this moment with you standing here for so long. Why would you say this shit?
Like,
we could be right, we could be partners, but there's a better fit for us out there.
There's a better fit for us out there.
Yeah. And poor Blake, he's just shaking his head. He said, I don't know if you caught this, he said, either you're making a mistake or I made a mistake. Something about mistake and somebody made it.
I feel like he said, you're making a mistake, because the next thing he said was, nobody can make me as happy as I can.
Nobody can make you as happy as I can.
You as happy as I can.
And yeah, she kind of just standing there like, I said all I had to say.
Like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but okay. And so, you know, she walks him out and do the whole, can I walk you out? And as he's walking, he just says, like, I was so wrong. I was so wrong.
Yeah.
He just kept saying that I was so wrong. She's like, no, you weren't wrong. You weren't wrong. You know, I was so sure. And it's like, just stop saying that. Stop. The thing that's putting even more salt into the wound for him is when she keeps saying, like, I was so sure it was going to be you at the end. But,
right.
Like,
it's not.
It's not. Yeah. Stop saying that. I pictured you at the very end, but, like, she kept saying this.
And that sort of statement is what makes people ask the question that I know you said on the podcast that you hate, which is, when people ask, what did I do wrong? That is what prompts that question.
Right. Which is exactly what he asked next. He asked her, what changed then? If I was supposed to be the one at the end and you kept picturing me until the end, what changed? And she just said, it's just who's the best fit for you. Or for me. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, whoever.
And yeah, so he's getting no answers because this explanation she's giving him literally makes no sense. And he just looks there and he's like, you know, I love you, and bye, and walks away.
Yeah.
And then we just get scene after scene of him crying, bawling into this towel, breaking,
like shaking,
breaking our hearts. You just know what's going on in his head, that he just feels like, I had it so wrong, and I knew this whole time, and I finally let my guard down, and I went to bed feeling good, and knew that it was going to be, I was going to be the one, and I was right the whole time.
Yeah.
I was right the whole time. And then what really broke my heart at the end is when he said, I have to now go home, I have to do this alone. Because we have to remember, this isn't airing on TV for forever. He can't tell anybody, really, the outcome. I think he can tell, he goes back home, he can tell his family, like, I guess some close friends or whatever. But he can't, he's not on the circuit doing interviews, he's not out here. Mm-hmm. So he has to keep all of this pain to himself.
Secret.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's even worse, or what's also very, very hard, and I remember some past contestant talked about this, how going home, it's so hard because, you know, you have your family and your friends who are there to support you, whatever, but there's no one who fully understands the gravity of what you just went through.
Yeah.
No one can understand it. And you can talk about it, you can get support from your mom, you're this, but no one understands, like, the fucking ringer that you just went through.
Emotionally,
and then make it to the end, and then you get sent home. Like, that...
Yeah.
So that broke my heart when he said, I have to go home and do this alone. Ugh, that's just so sad. And as soon as that happens, we're in the live studio audience with Blake sitting there on the couch. And you could just tell he was seeing that scene actually for the first time, like seeing the breakup for the very first time.
Yeah.
And he's still just so raw in his feelings and all of that. Chris Harrison says to him, you know, was this, you know, was, you know, the process, was it too easy? Like, the two of you not having any, like, was it too easy? And Blake was like, you know, the only red flag between us was that there were no red flags. That is such a tough pill to swallow. Like, things were perfect. I was perfect.
That's the only thing I did wrong was I was perfect.
How do you even, like, wrap your head around that?
Yeah.
Because he's really badly wanting... It's so much easier knowing that you did something wrong. Like, I sent you home because of this concrete thing. But he has none of that. He has no explanation of that sort. So it's just, what do you do? And so he said, you know, it's been hard. He's been watching the season back. It's been very hard. Even hardest is watching the scenes of the two of them together. And him just watching every second, really trying to figure out what went wrong, if anything went wrong.
Right.
So eventually Becca comes out. And, you know, Blake asks the same thing. You know, what went wrong? This is all he wants to know. This explanation you're giving me of me being too perfect is not helping me. Give me something concrete, please, for the love of God. And she gave him the same kind of blanket answer. And then he asks, you know, was there something about our future that worried you? Like, if you can't tell me something wrong, tell me about the future that you envisioned. Was there something there that was wrong? This is where she had me fucked up. She said, you know, seeing you getting so worried towards the end and being so in your head and so, I guess, insecure, maybe is what she was trying to say. It made me think, you know, what would you do if someone gets sick or if something happens to a child?
This, if I had a nigga you ain't shit moment,
this would be it.
Let me just put that in there right now.
I'll drop the music because this was definitely that. This was definitely that.
I was so disgusted when she said that because she was taking and I mean, maybe she was searching.
Yeah,
maybe she was searching for an answer. But to take the way that somebody acts when you have 28 other boyfriends and say that they're insecure is so demeaning, incredibly just insensitive, especially for somebody who was on the show before. And, I mean, if she's this big, strong, independent woman, then there are some times where you're going to have to carry your man. If you want to be 50-50 team, there's going to be some times you're going to have to carry his ass.
Very good point. That's a very good point.
So, I don't understand the statement. I think she was trying to search and find something, but she had all the time backstage to find something, and, like, 2 months.
Yeah, this was definitely her searching, but, yeah, I didn't appreciate that. She was throwing
his rightful insecurities in a situation where mm-hmm. he's literally competing with 95 other guys for this girl. Mm-hmm. And he has rightful insecurities about that. She threw that back in his face and then projected that onto the future.
Yeah.
And
right.
And then brought up the children, and if someone in the family gets sick, how are you going to act? And it's like, when someone gets sick, I'm not going to be competing with 90 other guys for your love and attention.
That's like some very real concrete shit, and this whole show is nothing real.
Concrete. So how did you arrive at that?
Like, yeah.
Ugh. Very disappointing kind of explanation. And then, you know, they just, again, sat on the couch just rambling about how similar they were. They would finish each other's sentences and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So then Chris Harrison asked him something along the lines of, like, how, you know, will you bounce back from this, or, you know, will you move on from this, blah, blah, blah. Blake gave a fantastic response.
The best.
Fantastic. He said, quote, "If people think this will keep me down, you obviously don't know me. I've learned and have been through a lot in my life, and I'll move on from this."
Which has been proven on the show.
Proven.
He's right.
Proven. He went through an actual school shooting in high school.
Yep.
His parents getting divorced after his mom having some indiscretions.
Messy.
Like, he's been through it and now getting heartbroken on national television.
Heartbroken in the group chat.
Yep, he got heartbroken in the group chat with the last girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, my nigga's been through some things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat up there and said, "Y'all don't know what I've been through. This is a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be checking them DMs tomorrow. Ladies, hit me up." And so that was kind of it with Blake. Bless Blake. Do not want to see Blake as The Bachelor.
No.
Run from this franchise. Please.
Yeah. It's not for you.
This is not for you. No. He is not ready for this. I don't want to hear nothing in 2 months talking about how I'm ready now for my chance at love. Same thing that Becca did. Run.
Yeah.
Go heal yourself and go find somebody in real life, because this is crazy. Like,
yeah.
No. So, done with Blake, we get back to the TV, or back to the, whatever, the show, and...
The Maldives?
Yeah, the Maldives. Garrett proposes. At this point, I put my TV on mute pretty much until the rest of...
Wow.
I was not playing. I tweeted out to y'all, my TV's on mute. Somebody let me know if they talk about anything on the couch, because I'm not doing this. Garrett proposes. They're all in love. Blah, blah, blah. He comes out on stage. My TV was still on mute. It was until...
Oh, really?
Did I miss anything? It was until they eventually talked about the Instagram scandal. That was all I cared about, so...
Yeah, they just talked about how they were, like, going secretly together. How they had a little weekend getaway. But they were clearly boning the whole time. And they were like, "We've been having fun drinking wine."
Wink, wink. Whatever. Get it in where you can, I guess. God.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So, finally took off the TV off mute when Garrett brought up the Instagram scandal, which I was surprised that they talked about this, as I said. So he brought the scandal and he said, you know, "I didn't mean to offend anybody. I stand by everything I said in my apology." And some other stuff. Becca says, you know, "All we can do is continue to educate ourselves," and he recognized that he made a mistake. What is the mistake, though? Let's be clear on what are y'all saying the mistake is? Did he make a mistake by liking things on Instagram and then getting caught? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying the mistake is?
That's what it sounds like.
Because that's not really what... I'm not looking for an apology on that. I'm looking for an explanation on your belief systems. And
individually.
I'm looking for that kind of explanation. This apology of him double tapping on Instagram and blah, 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 blah. We're past that. So don't bring this up. This was a mistake. He's moved past this mistake. Let's be clear here what the mistake is. The mistake is your belief systems, my dude.
Your bigot, right.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yep.
So yeah, issues ain't the like. It's your beliefs, Garrett. Becca, she says, you know, just give us space, allow us to grow and learn.
Give you space? You're going to be on Instagram promoting Lord and Taylor and Dunkin' Donuts in about 5 hours. What do you mean, give you space? I'm not giving you no damn space. Get out of here. You signed up for this show. No, I'm going to give you space, especially if it's on social media. It's not like somebody took a secret picture of you at some rally somewhere 3 years ago. This is on the platform in which you are making all of your sponsorship money. No, I'm not leaving you alone. My foot is not off your neck, Becca or Garrett. Exactly.
So, I'm just going to say this and just be done with the whole Garrett, all this foolishness. There's no excuse, there's no hiding that we're obviously disgusted by this ending, disgusted by Garrett's beliefs. Y'all, when I say y'all, I'm talking about the ABC producers, Chris Harrison, all y'all in that fucking studio audience. Y'all could sit up here and act like those are just some trivial Instagram likes. I know better. I know these Instagram likes have given us a little bit deeper insight into how Garrett views the world and how Garrett views people in this world. Particularly people who don't look like him. I have zero tolerance for Garrett and the likes of people like Garrett, because it's the likes of people like Garrett who made us end up with this fucking Dorito in the White House right now. It's that same mindset, and I personally wouldn't want any association with that mindset. And that's that. If Becca has it in her being to change the heart and mind and work with this man, that's her prerogative. Yeah. I personally don't give a shit. I'm ready for Bachelor in Paradise. And that's it.
Yeah. Yep. Ready. Ready for tomorrow.
Ready for tomorrow. So that's the episode. And happier news, Bachelor in Paradise is tomorrow.
Yay! Grocery Store Joe! Eric!
Grocery Store Joe!
Colton!
Some drama, some Kenny. Fun. Yes, Kenny. Some hookups, some drinking, some fun in the sun.
Drinks. Let's
bring the fun back and get the fuck out of this crazy world that we've been in.
Yeah, we're on a roller coaster. I need to get off.
Need to get off. So anyways, that's the episode. Rate, review, subscribe, everybody. Hit us up on Twitter. The handle is the number 2, BLK Girls, the number 1, Rose.
And email us if you have thoughts. Please share. Email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose at gmail.com. But also, we will be having mailbag episodes coming in probably around September. Yes. So if you have questions about dating, relationships, work, I'm very curious to see what people have, like, get me to Wakanda moments at work to see, like, how that's going to work out and how what we say. And dating and relationship questions are always fun. So we're going to have a couple of themes that we're going to go through. It's going to be just like the Nice for What episodes. But in between there, we're going to have some mailbags. So any questions that you guys have, just shoot them over and we'll read them out loud on the show.
Please do. It's been fun, y'all. We hung in through this godforsaken season. Got to the ending that nobody wanted.
Nope.
But alas, here we are.
But Blake is single.
Blake is single, and now I'm fully invested in his love life until the day I die, basically. And it's like Peter. Peter, I will forever be invested in his love life, literally, till the day I die.
Oh, yeah.
Blake is right on the same train. So that's it, y'all. It's been fun. It's been cool. We'll chat to y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.